Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
We have so much to discuss today, and I'm excited about our conversation in Psalm 37. It's exciting when we just talk about the Lord and how He loves His people and the things He's going to be sharing with us to encourage us, because God wants to leave us with hope. He wants us to be secure in His love and hopeful, not fearful, not full of anxiety, but with great faith and expectation for what He's going to do in our life every day. And that's the exciting thing about our relationship with the Lord, is that every day is a new day. His mercies are new every morning, and it's a journey. And I'm personally grateful to have a relationship with Him where I can just enjoy His encouragement.
It's so wonderful. You know, God is just so faithful.
Yeah.
And we want to encourage you today that, you know, our God is faithful.
Mm.
And when we don't have an abusive God, we don't have a God that just wants to do, you know, harmful things. We have a loving Father who disciplines those that He loves and hopes to bring us to a place of rightness with Him so that we can live with Him forever.
That's right.
And He says, consider hardship as discipline. I'm treating you as a son.
Mm-hmm.
And discipline has been so twisted today, John.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's been so twisted that, you know, every time you try to properly and lovingly discipline, the enemy's so twisted it so much, people just think, oh, God hates me, or you hate me, mm-hmm. or, you know, why are you bringing correction in my life? And it's like, hey, I mean, you know, we need correction. We need that in our life.
How would you know?
How would you know? And he compares, you know, us as sheep and him as a shepherd. And a shepherd is not going, oh, great, I got to use my, you know, my shepherd's rod to kind of bring them in or hurt. It's just a typical thing. It's what happens. But a loving God shepherds His people. And He, like a shepherd loves his sheep, greater than that, God loves us so much that He laid in His life for us. And so I just want to encourage you today that, you know, begin to say, you know what? You know, if we've been praying for revival, we've been praying for our loved ones to be saved, we've been praying for, you know, a nation to be saved, then if that requires hardship, if that requires a time of difficulty, times of trouble, then what we do, we just say, you know, if that's what it takes, you know, I'm willing
that's
to
right.
do that for souls. I'm willing
that's
to
right.
go through
that's
that.
Right.
But then we find out through Psalms 37 that God's even going to take care of us even in that.
Well, God's word says that even in the trouble, He's an ever-present help in the time of trouble.
That's right.
So even though we may go through difficulties, we may go through trials, He doesn't leave
right.
us alone.
Right.
He's willing to be there with us as we go through fiery experiences
right.
and trials and things, you know, that come against us.
Yeah, and we're actually hearing, that's what we're hearing, you know, that, you know, God loves us so much that we're fixing to go through some
right.
hardships. But we need to lock ourselves. And one thing, you know, in Psalms 37 that we'll be talking about, He says, because you hid my word in your heart. Think about that. Because
mm-hmm.
you put your word, my word in your heart, that's what's going to sustain you. And so when we talk about abiding, I mean, think about this. You want to begin to abide with the Lord. I mean, if you want to have peace in the midst of no matter what's going on, you know, you can fix it. And that just begin to abide with the Lord. We have a simple plan for you at iabide.org. But think about this. Start every day with gratitude.
Mm.
You know, what are we grateful for? You know, what do you raise your hand and go, praise God, you know, about? God has done something, acknowledging what He's done, not what you've done, but what He's done in your life. All good things come from our Father above. So you can just say, wow, God, you did this.
Mm-hmm.
And the second thing, you know, you think about, you know, you would think about, you know, your word have I hid in my heart that I wouldn't go the wrong way.
Right.
And like we're going to find out in Psalms 37, He says, because you hid my word in your heart. You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And so the next thing you want to do in your abiding is just, you know, get in God's word and take maybe one verse of scripture, you know, one area of scripture, and just that whole week just kind of meditate on that. So you just get it inside of you.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And that's what we're talking about, Psalms 37. I've just been really just soaking on it. It's just so beautiful, and it's a perfect word for where we're at. And then the next thing you do, you write the word what. I mean, you got the word gratitude on the journal.
Right.
You got the word, you know, what word I'm hiding in my heart. And the next word would be, you know, what. Now, where would be where.
Mm-hmm.
As you're reading the scripture that day, you know, you're progressively reading through scripture, you know, all of a sudden God just stops you. You know, something stands out. Don't go any further. Just stop. And write down, man, this is where God stopped me today. This scripture, this verse, whatever, you know.
It's so important because a lot of times the temptation for believers and people is to read you know, quantity versus just quality, just spending time with
right.
God.
Getting those works in, right?
Right. Information versus revelation.
Right, right, right. And so with that, you know, you have, you know, where God stopped you. And so you write that down. And then you write another word in your journal called what? God, what are you saying to me about me? Mm. I mean, not the time to resolve all the world's problems.
Right.
And, you know, think about, God, what kind of word are you giving my spouse today?
Or right.
What's for my children or my parents or my boss or whatever? And then you're beginning to build a personal dialogue with God.
Mm-hmm.
And so you write down, you know, what is God saying? You know, what is God saying to you? And so then you write that down, whatever that is. And then finally, the last thing that I like to do, and I encourage you to do, is to remember that without the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross, it's impossible. Because maybe what was God said, I want you to start doing this, I want you to start doing that, or stop doing this, or something happened in that encounter.
Right.
And it's going to take faith to do it, or it's going to take faith and confidence to not do it. And but that only comes through your full, complete trust in the finished work of the cross of Christ, because the power comes from God's Spirit when we trust in what God completed on the cross. We don't trust what God did on the cross and just go our own way. That's not trust.
Right.
Trust is when we're willing to go through the fire, trusting that God will deliver us from the fire. And even if he doesn't, we'll be with him in heaven. But, you know, that faith to obey God, the empowerment. And so when you put down, you know, this cross, I draw a little cross. I'll do that sometime for you. But you just I draw a little cross, a little stick man kind of, you know, bowing down at that cross. And I say, you know, what am I going to lay down at the cross today? What's my worries? What's my concerns? Maybe your kids, you know, you've been carrying your kids around. You want your kids to be saved and know God. But listen to this. You couldn't even save yourself.
But
if you lay them down at the cross of Christ, his finished work, what happens is when you let go, God begins to move. When you stop that, you know, God starts that. And when we trust fully in his finished work, it releases, I mean, we're not releasing God's Spirit, but God's Spirit begins to move because he sees that we're trusting him. And next thing you know, all this stuff that you tried to make happen, God is actually, because it was right in what you were wanting, but the problem was you were trying to do it instead of God trying to do it. And so you just lay that down. And believe me, every day you'll have something to lay down. If you're living a life of following God, every day you're going to have to lay something down. Sometimes every day you'll lay it down again and again. And it's so cool because I can go back and look at all these things I just laid down, you know, and just put it down at the cross and just said, okay, God, I took my mind off of it. I laid it there. And trust God's Spirit. And next thing you know, I'm just like rapidly, God's Spirit, he just takes over and begins to touch men's hearts and accomplishes so much in such a short time. It's just amazing.
It's amazing when we're at rest, God's at work.
Yes.
He doesn't need us to get involved in the equation. We need to trust him and believe that he is able to do what he says he's going to do in, you know, in our life and our situations.
Right. And it's so cool. I mean, he wants this, but we are co-laborers with Jesus Christ. It's an intimate relationship with God, and what we're doing is it brings us to the reality that we're dependent on him, but he is cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
He's okay with that. And so when we start saying, you have a great relationship with God, that you really do have one. So you think about this. I don't know if you can see my hands here. I basically just go, you know, whatever, start your day with gratitude. He says to enter his presence, we have to enter his gates with thanksgiving. So the first thing we're going to do, we don't go start off like, oh God, you know, it's not, you know, the first thing we do is like, God, and you'd be surprised how all the negative things disappear. When you think about all the negative things disappear, once it's like, I can't think about gratitude and what I'm mad about right now. And it's hard to smile and frown at the same time and that type of thing. So you're thinking, you know, what am I grateful for? And so what I do is I just draw a stick figure with his hand straight up, you know, and then I don't know if you can see me. Yeah. He's like this. And the next thing is, thy word hath I hid in my heart, right? You know that little thing people do like this, and they put it by their heart like this. You know, I'll draw a little stick figure like this where he's holding. It's like, I want to hide God. I got to remember, I'm hiding his word in my heart. I don't know if you can see that right there, but maybe you can see that. I'm hiding God's word in my heart, right?
That's good.
So we go from gratitude to hiding God's word in our heart. And then the next thing is, now I'm reading God's word, and I'm like, a stick figure like this. I'm totally open, God. You know, where do you want me? Where am I reading today? What stands out? You know, all of a sudden he stops me here. That's where he stops me. And so I write down where he stopped me. And then the next stick figure is like this. I put my hands on myself. I don't know if you can see that. And it's like, you know, what about me?
Yeah.
What does that apply to me? What do you, what do you, what do you say? You know, what are you saying to me, God? I want to be able to write that down. And so then I write that down. And the last thing, like I said, I just kind of draw the cross and a stick figure bottom down. Remember, you know, thank God. Because if you end there without the cross, you walk away with this huge burden thinking, you know, God wants me to face Pharaoh. You know, right. God wants me to, you know, work out this marriage issue. God wants me to walk through this difficult time with my kids. But when you remember the cross, when you remember the finished work, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. So we remember that finished work on the cross. What happens is that we're just empowered. It's like, okay, great. God, you can do this through me when That's I trust right. your finished work. And I'll step out because I have thoroughly and dimensionally walked in intimacy with you to begin my day, just like Jesus began his day early in the morning with the Father. Well, you know, when you think about, you know, your children, and you have little children, can you imagine, you know, your five-year-old child, and some people do have little children that that are worried. I mean, they're really worried. And it's like, what? You know, it's like, yeah, I don't know if my G.I. Joe is going to be able to survive this process or something. And imagine them biting their fingernails or something like that, and they're worried. And so a parent would say to the child, would just go, don't worry, right? Mm-hmm. You say, don't worry. And to a parent, that's just normal. And they want the child to go, okay, I trust you, Dad. Mm-hmm. Mom, I'm not going to worry. I'm just going to play. I'm going to have fun and, you know, whatever it is. Go clean my room like all guys do and that type of thing. And so God tells us that. He tells us don't worry. So when we hear all these, you know, when God lets us in on what's going to happen, like Amos chapter 7 says, he doesn't do anything unless he first lets us know. He's not telling us so that we can be angry. Mm. He's not telling us, you know, I had a season where, you know, I was hearing God was letting me in on a few things and I would just get angry. Mm. And finally, I just felt like the Holy Spirit was telling me, I'm not going to tell. If you're going to walk around acting like, you know, you're getting angry, I'm just letting you in on what I know is even happening.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, God, I just felt like I was supposed, you know, just kind of that response. And you, because there's so many things happening right now, John. I mean, we need to hear this is so important today, because you might be angry right now. You might be angry. And of course, be angry and sin not, and righteous anger is not wrong.
Sure.
But quite often, you know, it's like, we're just ticked, you know. It's like, can't believe you're doing this. And so I think about this. I think about first in Acts chapter 4, you know, when the church just birthed. Mm. I mean, the church just birthed. You know, think about that. Man, the Holy Spirit just exploded. You know, God released his spirit on earth, and you had, you know, Pentecost and all the things that were taking place. And Peter, who once denied Jesus, is now preaching this awesome message. And I mean, you think everybody's going to be excited.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody's going to be excited because just like Jesus said, just like God foretold, I mean, here it is, the power, you know, these, you know, all this was going on, thousands are getting saved, man got healed, you know, the gate beautiful, all that, and they get locked up. I mean, the first thing that happens in ministry was a prison sentence.
Yeah.
And it's like, we're so naturally minded. How many people, John, how many people would go, yeah, I knew something was wrong with her. I knew something was wrong with him.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's like, instead of going to go minister to you and talk about the success of what God did, they were just immediately just, you know, it's amazing how worldly as the church thinks
mindset,
about, right?
Mindset, yeah.
Right. Or they would think about, you know, John the Baptist. Mm. You know, John the Baptist, they would go, you know, he got shut down by the government. The government shut him down. That he never showed up to any pancake breakfasts. He wanted to go eat grasshoppers and whatever.
Them grasshopper things. I knew there was something.
He never would wear the suit. He always wore the little, you know, whatever.
And that long hair.
Yeah, and he had to bring up the marriage issues with the king. You know, if he went about the marriage issues up, and that's why his ministry didn't succeed, and that's why he lost his head. Well, if you'd be like us, they said, right? Yes, like, yeah. But they would have said that.
Yeah.
But Jesus said about John the Baptist, there wasn't a greater man ever who lived on the face of the earth born of a woman than John the Baptist.
Wow.
Is that not wild? That's like, woo. And then he says, the least in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. Not John. So here he is. By the way, the word here means here, but it just comes out.
It just comes out. Okay, just making sure.
Got to have some unique things going on. And he's in jail. They pray for him to be released from jail. God releases him supernaturally. They release him from jail. This is one thing you can always be confident about, that the people who move in the worldly ways, people who are driven by their flesh, and people who are basically Satan's captives, they're always worried about how things look.
Yeah.
they're always worried about how do I look? How do I look? Are you looking at me? No, yeah. Second Street, I'm sorry. And so but when you're moving to God, you don't care, man. You don't know how it's going to turn out. Success could be a prison sentence and a beheading. I mean, you don't know.
You live with the eyes of one, and that's God's eyes.
Yeah.
And that's it. That's all that matters.
Yeah. And so so here he is. Here they are. He's freed up from jail. And their prayer is answered. And he shows up, and they're praying. And of all the things they can pray about, I mean, it's amazing. The first thing they prayed about, and this is today. When you hear what's happening today, I mean, listen to these words. It's such a now word for us. And as they're praying, you know, he says, Sovereign Lord. I mean, like in, I think, you know, Acts 4. Sovereign Lord, Sovereign Lord, you made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything in them. I mean, that really, man, when you just relax a little bit and you realize, wait a minute.
Yeah.
You're not God of America.
That's right.
Somebody says, he's not God. Excuse me. He's God of the universe.
Hello.
So, you know what I'm saying? That's God of the universe. So, it does, you know, he's not only God of America, he's God of everything that is. And so, you know, he said, you created everything. You made the heavens and the earth and the sea and everything that's in them, even that little funky looking shoe, horseshoe crab thing that scares the heck out of you. It gets turned upside down if you've ever been diving before. And it says, you spoke by the Holy Spirit through your servant, our father David. Mm. And this is what he spoke. He says, why do the nations rage? Why do the people plot in vain? The kings of the earth rise up. The rulers band together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Mm. I was like, man, is that not happening right now? Mm. I mean, think about that. It's like, whoa, you're not coming against me. You're coming against the armies of God. You're coming against the host of heaven.
Careful, careful.
Careful, careful. Those, get that quote. We don't need a source for that one. And so then he goes on. He says, indeed, they're praying. Herod and Pontius Pilate met together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel in the city to conspire against your holy servant Jesus. Mm. I mean, they're conspiring against Jesus. I mean, if you got a performance acceptance syndrome and you got to be liked by everybody, I mean, it's not going to work out too good when you're following by the Lord. You want to be liked by God, you know, loved by God, and you are, but you cannot be both. And he says, they did what your power, even though they're plotting against God's folks and against Jesus, but they only did what your power decided beforehand should happen. Listen, God holds the king's hearts in his hand and directs them like a water course. I mean, think about that. So if you really realize that, you're thinking like, are you using someone out of control right now to bring me in control? Mm. Am I trying to complain about this man or woman in leadership, my boss, supervisor, whatever it is, but you're actually using that in my life to hone me in? I mean, like Nebuchadnezzar, you're called Nebuchadnezzar your servant.
That's right.
I mean, think about that.
You know, shaping me.
Right? Yeah. And even Nebi thought it was himself, right? Yeah. And then he had a few, you know, long hair, a few fingernails later, he needed a pedicure and all that. And so they're praying right here. And so after they prayed, they just came out of jail. Mm. I mean, how many people quit serving God and following God once they go through a difficulty because this crazy gospel has been preached, which means good news, but this message has been preached from the pulpits, which is really, you know, I guess I could say in a nice way, doctrines of demonic activity.
Yeah.
And so because this is not what Jesus said, in this life you'll have troubles. Things are going to happen. This is your one life to walk this out. And so a lot of people just would quit. They go, well, you know, I talked about Jesus at the workplace and didn't get the raise. Like, are you serious? You know, that James Foley lost his head. Mm. You know what I'm saying?
That's
it's like,
right.
Really? We're talking about you lost a pay raise?
Mm-hmm.
And so in that, you know, so here they were praying. They didn't quit. They stayed in there. Difficulty didn't stop them. And they pray. They ask God for boldness of all the things they could be asking for. And after they had prayed, it says the place they were meeting together was shaken. Imagine them being shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word with boldness. So the very thing they told them not to do, don't ever speak again in this name of Jesus. They prayed to Jesus. They prayed to the Father. And he came down and anointed them to do more of what they said don't do, but this time to do it in boldness. In other words, I don't know what that was, but wait out. I'm going to spend some time with God. And must not have said it clear enough.
Yeah.
So I'm going to be more bolder in what I say. I just want to encourage you today. And we want to go right into this beautiful psalm, the Psalm of David 37, is so appropriate because so many things are going on right now. I mean, if you had a chance to be listening to VFN TV over a couple of months, you know, the last couple of years, you're hearing some pretty amazing things that are taking place right now. But these are the times prophesied. These are the times spoken of. And what's coming with it is a great harvest.
Yeah.
You know, when you, you know, plant a harvest, you got to till the soil at first. And so, you know, that's happening. But let's just kind of go through Psalms 37 because it's so important to us. And the first thing that we're told in this Psalm of David is, you know, you probably can see this image over here. They're going to come up as we're talking about it. Just kind of get that point across. Is like, he says, do not fret because of those who do evil. I mean, you think about that. Do not fret because of those who do evil. And it's let's that's not how it should be up. It should be up. Just do not fret because of evil. That's the first thing of evil people. I mean, think about all the evilness that's going on right now.
Mm-hmm.
I think about all the evilness that's going on right now. And you, the thing you want to do, you want to just fret. You know, and you think about fretting. You see this lady right here. I mean, she, imagine. Do you see? I see people like that right now.
Yeah.
And the people that aren't like that, that don't know God, are medicated in some way, whether it's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't watch the news anymore. I just have Netflix.
Right.
So, you buried your head in the sands of Netflix.
Right.
That's
encouraging.
That's
right.
Encouraging.
Right.
Yes, that's encouraging. But he says, don't even fret. And so it's so important to think about. You know, not fretting because of evil people, because God doesn't say, hey, listen, I need you. If you don't fret, you're sinning. You know, if you walk around peaceful and full of joy, I mean, there's some people that feel that's their job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, aren't you worried?
Right.
It's like, I don't have time to be worried.
And they're concerned that you're not worried.
Yeah. But then he says, you know, it's okay for you not to fret.
Mm-hmm.
It's all right for you not to fret. It's important. And so think about, okay, I'm going to just not fret. And then he says, and don't be envious of those who do wrong. It's important because there's a gain for a while. There's a gain for a while of those who do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You mm-hmm. start seeing for a little bit, you know, things start working out for them.
Right.
You know, they stepped over you to get the cell. They
cheated you, robbed you.
I'm trying to think of great adjectives that describe it better, but they just kind of stepped on you to get promoted at work and maybe. You know, you see somebody who you had this great relationship with your spouse, but they divorced you, and it looks like now they're, quote, happily, you know, things mm-hmm. are going on. But just hold on.
Yeah.
If you don't fret and you just hold on, unless they repent, it's not going to work. It never does. And it doesn't work out.
Mm-mm.
And then he says, so don't be envious of them. There's a lot of people that profess to be Christians. They're constantly looking at what other people have. They watch television and think, I want a house like that.
Right.
I want a job like that. I see Christians that were going like, you know, I want to go get on that that Trump show, Donald Trump show.
Right.
What was it called? What's the show?
Apprentice.
They want to get. It's like that's
greed.
Well, it's like the whole thing is like you're fired anyway. So and so then he says for the grass. This is how he describes how it would turn out. He says for the grass. You think about green grass and the beautiful green grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said for like grass, these folks will soon wither. So even though it's green, I mean, you think about this. Even though it's green, it starts looking just terrible. Things will just change. And you'll watch over time. And it'll look good for a moment, but look at this withered grass. I mean, it's just, that's what it's going to look like.
Well, think about it. The Word of God says that, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain.
Right.
When you're envious and you're striving and mm-hmm. things that were flourishing, mm-hmm. it just wears on your body. You become just like the dry grass. You're never going to catch it. You're trying to catch something that it's never going to manifest in your life because of wrong motives.
Right. And he says, and of course, he says also like green plants that will soon die away. And that's why we don't rejoice in the fact that someone is going to end up that way. We actually are like Moses interceding or like Abraham interceding, saying, this is the wrong way. I know it seems good today. I know that it seems like you're getting this raise or, you know, things are going good for you. But the end result is you're going to have kids all over the nation that you've birthed.
Hmm.
And you're going to have to live with this, leaving them around. Or if you feel reprieved that, hey, you're going to take this child's life in your womb. But let me tell you, before you do that, it's not going to be good for you.
No.
Because you're going to secretly, outside the healing of God and forgiveness of God, you're going to be tormented in the mm-hmm. context of that. And so we intercede. We're not rejoicing. Oh, that's one day they're going to be, you know, we're like, no, we want them to end up that way. And one way we find out if we were that way, we're not envying them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because why would you envy someone that would be like Miriam, Moses' sister, that's not going to end up well, right? And so then he says, through all that, in verse 3 of 37, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. I mean, think about that.
Mm.
Trust in the Lord and do good. You can really think about this. You can do a lot of good things if you give up all that time you're putting into fretting. I mean, how many people just watch the news? That's why we're at VFN TV. If you really watch the news and study the news, don't listen to what they're saying. Listen to what's being presented to you. It's like a shotgun being shot at you. Rapid fire of tragedy, 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 tragedy. No resolution, no biblical perspective.
No.
And then all of a sudden, kitten video. I mean, it's just like, and so people have all this knowledge, right? And they go around talking like, I know this, I know this, I know this. Right. But what are you doing with that? If you just let
fretting,
that.
Fretting.
Yeah, fretting. Versus understanding and going in wisdom. Mm-hmm. And that, and I encourage you, you know, we're looking at right now. I mean, this is what the Lord told us. And we actually, it has been prophesied by, I believe, Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries and others that anchors would begin to lose their seats. And as we see right now, there's a national news anchor, strangely, that's been removed from their seat for 6 weeks suspension.
6 months.
6 months suspension. I guess he suspended himself. I don't know if he's but the whole thing. That's coming. That's coming because if all you're doing that is for a job,
mm-hmm.
if the only reason that you are, you know, doing news, for example, or that type of thing for a paycheck, and there's people in ministry that are just doing it for a paycheck, and how you find out is take it away from them.
Oh.
And that's potentially that's what's going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
And for a little bit, just relax. Everything's good. Don't fret. Don't worry.
Trust in the Lord and do
all, good. All your might. And lean not on your 401k. And so he says, trust in the Lord and do good. So when you actually begin to just stop fretting, give yourself permission. God gave you permission.
Right.
Don't fret.
Yeah.
You don't have to be like this particular folks back here that you're seeing that are fretting. You can just like, you know, hey, I'm not going to fret. And then he says, go around and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy your safe pastures.
Mm. You know, when we're not trusting the Lord, what we're really saying is that God can't trust in God's character. We can't trust in God's word and his faithfulness.
He's not in control.
Who are we to judge the Lord like that? You know, got to repent and say, Lord, we trust you. You're faithful. Mm-hmm. You have integrity. You keep your word. And when we're able to do that and have confidence in the Lord, we can just pull back and say, God is in your hands, not in my hands.
And what you find out, too, you find out who is really your God. Mm-hmm. Because if when you feel like you let go, everything's going to fall apart. Ding, ding, ding. You actually feel that you're the one that's in control.
Right.
And that's a terrible place to be. You can't afford the medication. You can't afford the lack of sleep. You're going to try to control everybody. They're not going to do what you say. Mm-hmm. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be like a warden of people. You're trying to adjust the whole world. I'll never forget a man called me once, and he's telling me how everything needs to change so his life's better. I'm like, how are we going to change the whole world for you? You know, it's like, you're going to have to learn to live with your life. That's we right. cannot change this whole world so you have a happy, happy life.
Hmm.
And so then he says, you know, just enjoy this thing. It's okay. Even though the world's falling apart, even though terrible things are happening, and I encourage you first, you know, go through the mourning of what's taking place. But after you've placed that, you're not supposed to stay unnaturally in some place of mourning because mm-hmm. you'll become dysfunctional. And begin to just enjoy your life because God is doing some stuff. And then take delight in the Lord by abiding with him like we're talking about. You can just delight in the Lord. Just delight in the Lord. It's like, wow, God, what are you doing here? I got to prepare myself. I want to be a disciple and want to make disciples. That's what he called us to do, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, I just want to delight myself in the Lord. And then he says, if you do this, he'll give you the desires of your heart. How many people have been wanting the desires of their heart? How many people has been wanting that to come to pass?
Yeah.
But they've been fretting and they're fearful and they're envious. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And not having any gratitude too. I mean, you're able to delight yourself in the Lord when you spend time abiding with him and you're grateful for all the things that he's doing and has done. And it calls you to sit back and say, God, you are so amazingly and exceedingly good. I can trust you. I can live in, you know, in you. And enjoy your presence and all the wonderful things that you're doing in me, through me, around me, for my family, my loved ones. And that's our joy. That's what sustains us and continues to walk with God. And it becomes a beautiful joy.
Yeah. And so then if we really want to have the desires of our heart, we got to trust God.
Mm-hmm.
We got to let go. Even in the midst of chaos and confusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you heard prudent preparation. We had that available for you. God let us know. I am prepared for 90 days. Just you know, if like a hurricane's coming, we have that for you. It's available to all of our partners. Just get it. Here's your free. Subscribe to the Torch newsletter, and you got it. It's there for you. But just got, you know, it's not that you can blindly everything's going to work out. God's going to tell you what to do and when to do it. Mm. And so He's already said, prepare. And we're seeing it come to pass in many places, in like in Japan, and the people that heard about preparation, guess what? They were prepared when those, you know, tsunami came, when those different things came, they were literally, you know, okay with that. Then He says, you know, in that He says, commit your way to the Lord and trust Him, and He'll do this. We just commit our, and that's abiding, just abide with God, abide in a relationship with fellow believers, you know, get connected and rightly related to the church God's called you to, the church family. And He said, He'll do this. He will make your righteousness, He'll make your righteous reward shine like the dawn. Mm. I mean, a shiny, righteous reward. Isn't that not cool?
Beautiful.
I mean, here they were with all those, all that fret and all that fear with nothing to fear at all. Mm. Isn't that amazing? And your vindication, like the noonday sun. Think about that. So many people are trying to get their own justice, and they're trying to do these things. And it's like, you know, if we just follow God, we trust God, we go out, commit our ways to God, and we delight in Him, understand He's in control, and we don't fret, you know, God, it'll all come out in the end. And if our heart is right before God, we're going to want good things for even the ones that have been adversarial towards us. That's how you know that you're sons of God, when you're willing to be persecuted for the sake of those who are persecuting you.
Hello.
Or, you know, willing to be humiliated for the sake of those who are humiliating you. Mm-hmm. It's Pat's favorite quote. He lives by that. Then he says, be still before the Lord. Think about that. Just be still. That's what I love about abiding.
Yeah.
And that's what I so love about abiding. And it's like, you just want to stay in this place, that abiding place. And you can walk. And I was talking to Kitchara Bradford in Houston just recently, and she's talking about how she's just walking continually now in this abiding relationship with God.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. But, you know, you gotta, you know, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Mm. And so, you know, patience is enduring hardship without complaining or grumbling and all that kind of thing.
Through faith and patience, right?
Yeah, through faith and patience. And so, okay, all this stuff's going on. There's horrific things going on. We've been talking about them, you know. But we can be patient in this. We can even be patient in affliction.
Yeah.
You know, patient in suffering. We can be patient and just understand. I've seen so many things come full circle. It's amazing, you know, how if you just hold on. If you hold on. Say nothing that will prevent people from coming full circle, and you'll watch things come full circle. I just want to encourage you today, and we want to go right into this beautiful psalm, the Psalm of David 37. Mm. It's so appropriate because so many things are going on right now. I mean, if you had a chance to be listening to VFN TV over a couple of months, you know, the last couple of years, you're hearing some pretty amazing things that are taking place right now. But these are the times that prophesied. These are the times spoken of. And what's coming with it is a great harvest.
Yeah.
You know, when you plant a harvest, you got to till the soil at first. And so, you know, that's happening. But let's just kind of go through Psalms 37 because it's so important to us. And the first thing that we're told is in this Psalm of David is, you know, you probably can see this image over here. They're going to come up as we're talking about it. Just kind of get that point across. Is like, he says, do not fret because of those who do evil. I mean, you think about that. Do not fret because of those who do evil. And it's let's that's not how it should be up. It should be up. Just do not fret because of evil. That's the first thing of evil people. I mean, think about all the evilness that's going on right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, think about all the evilness that's going on right now. And the thing you want to just fret. You know, and you think about fretting. You see this lady right here. I mean, I see people like that right now.
Yeah.
And the people that aren't like that, that don't know God, are medicated in some way, whether it's entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't watch the news anymore. I just have Netflix.
Right.
So, you buried your head in the sands of Netflix.
Right.
That's
encouraging.
That's
right.
Encouraging.
Right.
Yes, that's encouraging. But he says, don't even fret. And so it's so important to think about. You know, not fretting because of evil people, because God doesn't say, hey, listen, I need you. If you don't fret, you're sinning. You know, if you walk around peaceful and full of joy, I mean, there's some people that feel that's their job.
Mm-hmm.
You know, aren't you worried?
Right.
He's like, I don't have time to be worried.
And they're concerned that you're not worried.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But then he says, you know, it's okay for you not to fret. Mm-hmm. It's all right for you not to fret. It's important. And so think about, okay, I'm going to just not fret. And then he says, and don't be envious of those who do wrong. This is important because there's a gain for a while. There's a gain for a while of those who do wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? You mm-hmm. start seeing for a little bit, you know, things start working out for them.
Right.
You know, they stepped over you to get the cell. They
cheated you, robbed you.
I'm trying to think of great adjectives to describe it better, but they just kind of stepped on you to get promoted at work. And maybe, you know, you see somebody who you had this great relationship with your spouse, but they divorced you. And it looks like now they're, quote, happily, you know, things mm-hmm. are going on. But just hold on.
Yeah.
If you don't fret and you just hold on, unless they repent, it's not going to work. It's not going to.
It never does.
And it doesn't work out. Mm-mm. And then he says, so don't be envious of them. There's a lot of people that profess to be Christians. They're constantly looking at what other people have. They watch television and think, I want a house like that.
Right.
I want a job like that. I see Christians that were going like, you know, I want to go get on that that Trump show, Donald Trump show. What was it called? What's the show?
Apprentice.
They want to get it. It's like that's
greed.
Well, it's like the whole thing is like you're fired. Anyway, so and so for then he says for the grass. This is how he describes how it will turn out. He says for the grass. You think about green grass and the beautiful green grass, right?
Mm-hmm.
He said for like grass, these folks will soon wither. So even though it's green, I mean, you think about this. Even though it's green, it starts looking just terrible. Things will just change, and you'll watch over time. And it looked good for a moment, but look at this withered grass. I mean, it's just that's what it's going to look like.
Well, think about it. The Word of God says that, you know, godliness with contentment is great gain.
Right.
When you're envious and you're striving and mm-hmm. things that were flourishing, mm-hmm. it just wears on your body. You become just like the dry grass. You're never going to catch it. You're trying to catch something that it's never going to manifest in your life because of wrong motives.
Right, right, right. And he says, and of course, he says also like green plants that will soon die away. And that's why we don't rejoice in the fact that someone is going to end up that way. We actually are like Moses interceding or like Abraham interceding, saying, this is the wrong way. I know it seems good today. I know that it seems like you're getting this raise or, you know, things are going good for you. But the end result is you're going to have kids all over the nation that you've birthed and you're going to have to live with this, leaving them around. Or if you feel reprieved that, hey, you're going to take this child's life in your womb. But let me tell you, before you do that, it's not going to be good for you because you're going to secretly, outside the healing of God and forgiveness of God, you're going to be tormented in the mm-hmm. context of that. And so we intercede. We're not rejoicing. Oh, that's one day they're going to be, you know. He's like, no, we want them to end up that way. And one way we find out if we were that way, we're not envying them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and because why would you envy someone that would be like Miriam, Moses' sister, that's not going to end up well, right? And so then he says, through all that, in verse 3 of 37, he says, trust in the Lord and do good. I mean, think about that. Trust in the Lord and do good. You can really think about this. You can do a lot of good things if you give up all that time you're putting into fretting. I mean, how many people just watch the news? That's why we're at VFN TV. If you really watch the news and study the news, don't listen to what they're saying. Listen to what's being presented to you. It's like a shotgun being shot at you. Rapid fire. Of tragedy, 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 tragedy. No resolution, no biblical perspective.
No.
And then all of a sudden, kitten video. I mean, it's just like, and so people have all this knowledge, right? And they go around talking like, I know this, I know this, I know this. Right. But what are you doing with that? If you just let
fretting,
that.
Fretting.
Yeah, fretting versus understanding and going in wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And that, and I encourage you, you know, we're looking at right now. I mean, this is what the Lord told us. And we actually, it has been prophesied by, I believe, Rick Joyner, Morningstar Ministries and others, that anchors would begin to lose their seats. And as we see right now, there's a national news anchor, strangely, that's been removed from their seat for 6 weeks suspension.
6 months.
6 months suspension. I guess he suspended himself. I don't know if he's but the whole thing, that's coming. That's coming because if all you're doing that is for a job,
mm-hmm.
if the only reason that you are, you know, doing news, for example, or that type of thing for a paycheck. And there's people in ministry that are just doing it for a paycheck. And how you find out is take it away from them.
Oh.
And that's potentially that's what's going to happen, you know.
Yeah.
And for a little bit, just relax. Everything's good. Don't fret. Don't worry.
Trust in the Lord and do
all your might and lean not on your 401k. And so He says, trust in the Lord and do good. So when you actually begin to just stop fretting, give yourself permission. God gave you permission.
Right.
Don't fret.
Yeah.
You don't have to be like this particular folks back here that you're seeing that are fretting. You can just like, you know, hey, I'm not going to fret. Then he says, go around and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy your safe pastures.
Mm. You know, when we're not trusting the Lord, what we're really saying is that God can't trust in God's character. We can't trust in God's word and his faithfulness.
He's not in control.
He's not in control. Who are we to judge the Lord like that? You know, got to repent and say, Lord, we trust you. You're faithful. Mm-hmm. You have integrity. You keep your word. And when we're able to do that and have confidence in the Lord, we can just pull back and say, God is in your hands, not in my hands.
And what you find out, too, you find out who is really your God. Mm-hmm. Because if when you feel like you let go, everything's going to fall apart. Ding, ding, ding. You actually feel that you're the one that's in control.
Right.
And that's a terrible place to be. You can't afford the medication. You can't afford the lack of sleep. You're going to try to control everybody. They're not going to do what you say. Mm-hmm. You're going to be miserable. You're going to be like a warden of people. I mean, you're trying to adjust the whole world. I'll never forget a man called me once, and he's telling me how everything needs to change so his life's better. I'm like, how are we going to change the whole world for you? You know, it's like, you're going to have to learn to live with your life. That's we right. cannot change this whole world so you have a happy life. And so then he says, you know, just enjoy this thing. It's okay. Even though the world's falling apart, even though terrible things are happening, and I encourage you first, you know, go through the mourning of what's taking place. But after you've placed that, you're not supposed to stay unnaturally in some place of mourning because mm-hmm. you'll become dysfunctional. And begin to just enjoy your life because God is doing some stuff. And then take delight in the Lord by abiding with him like we're talking about. You can just delight in the Lord. Just delight in the Lord. It's like, wow, God, what are you doing here? I got to prepare myself. I want to be a disciple and want to make disciples. That's what he called us to do, you know?
Yeah.
And so it's like, man, I just want to delight myself in the Lord. And then he says, if you do this, he'll give you the desires of your heart. How many people have been wanting the desires of their heart? How many people have been wanting that to come to pass?
Yeah.
But they've been fretting and they're fearful and they're envious. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And not having any gratitude, too. I mean, you're able to delight yourself in the Lord when you spend time abiding with him and you're grateful for all the things that he's doing and has done. And it calls you to sit back and say, God, you are so amazingly and exceedingly good. I can trust you. I can live in, you know, in you and enjoy your presence and all the wonderful things that you're doing in me, through me, around me, for my family, my loved ones. And that's our joy. That's what sustains us and continues to walk with God, and it becomes a beautiful joy.
Yeah, and so then if we really want to have the desires of our heart, we got to trust God. Mm-hmm. We got to let go, even in the midst of chaos and confusion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you heard prudent preparation. We had that available for God. Let us prepare for 90 days. Just, you know, if like a hurricane's coming, we have that for you. It's available to all of our partners. Just get it. Here's your free. Subscribe to the Torch newsletter, and you got it. It's there for you. But it's not that you can blindly everything's going to work out. God's going to tell you what to do and when to do it.
Mm.
And so he's already said, prepare. And we're seeing it come to pass in many places. And like in Japan, the people that heard about preparation, guess what? They were prepared when those, you know, tsunami came, when those different things came, they were literally, you know, okay with that. Then he says, you know, in that, he says, commit your way to the Lord and trust him, and he'll do this. We just commit our, and that's abiding, just abide with God, abide in a relationship with fellow believers, you know, get connected and rightly related to the church God's called you to, the church family. And he said, he'll do this. He will make your righteousness, he'll make your righteous reward shine like the dawn.
Mm.
I mean, a shiny, righteous reward. Isn't that not cool?
Beautiful.
I mean, here they were with all that fret and all that fear with nothing to fear at all.
Mm.
Isn't that amazing? And your vindication, like the noonday sun. Think about that. So many people are trying to get their own justice, and they're trying to do these things. And it's like, you know, if we just follow God, we trust God, we go out, commit our ways to God, and we delight in him, and understand he's in control, and we don't fret. You know, God, it'll all come out in the end. And if our heart is right before God, we're going to want good things for even the ones that have been adversarial towards us. That's how you know that you're sons of God, when you're willing to be persecuted for the sake of those who are persecuting you.
Hello.
Or, you know, willing to be humiliated for the sake of those who are humiliating you. Mm-hmm. It's Pat's favorite quote. He lives by that. Then he says, be still before the Lord. Think about that. Just be still. That's what I love about abiding.
Yeah.
And that's what I so love about abiding. And it's like, you just want to stay in this place, that abiding place. And you can walk. And I was talking to Kitchara Bradford in Houston just recently, and she's talking about how she's just walking continually now in this abiding relationship with God.
Yeah.
And that's the way it is. But you gotta, it says, be still before the Lord and wait patiently for him. Mm. And so, you know, patience is enduring hardship without complaining or grumbling and all that kind of thing.
Through faith and patience, right?
Yeah, through faith and patience. And so, okay, all this stuff's going on. There's horrific things going on. We've been talking about them, you know. But we can be patient in this. We can even be patient in affliction.
Yeah.
You know, patient in suffering. We can be patient and just understand. I've seen so many things come full circle. It's amazing, you know, how if you just hold on. You hold on. Say nothing that will prevent people from coming full circle, and you'll watch things come full circle.
You've just been listening to the highlights from VFN-TV and the Data Radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Listen or watch more programs and check out the VFN Torch at VFNTV.com. Don't forget about our VFN-TV app, where no matter where you are, you can take the light with you and share it with your friends. We want to thank our sponsors and partners who make this program possible. Take the time and support our sponsors. You can locate them at VFNTV.com and select sponsors. If you'd like to become a sponsor or a partner, you can do so at VFNTV.com. VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light.